Welcome. This is Efrat Sobolewski from YU Connects, happy to share another episode of Candidate, where we feature candid conversations about today's dating life with experienced guests. Our wonderful host this evening is Randy Wartowski. Randy has been involved in Jewish broadcasting for over 20 years. She's an award-winning journalist and a beloved music teacher in the tri-state area. She has been a part-time host for JM and the AM and the Nachum Segal Network. Randy lives in Teaneck with her husband and their five children. This podcast is anonymously sponsored by Le'iloi Nishmas, Chanoch Chaim Ben Yaakov HaKohen, and by the Shlomo and Cindy Sylvian Foundation. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Candidate. I'm Randy Wartowski, and it's a pleasure and honor to serve as your host today on this great podcast where we have candid conversations about dating and relationships. Whether you're joining us for the first time or you're a more seasoned listener, you're part of an audience that's growing in leaps and bounds as we tackle topics facing our community in the world of dating and relationships. I'm humbled to be the newest member of the hosting team, and I'm so excited today to introduce you to Tamar Snyder-Chaitovsky. Tamar is an accomplished personal finance educator who's passionate about helping younger adults make smart money decisions, specifically people in their teens, 20s, and 30s. She has not only created and developed a unique financial literacy curriculum for teenagers, she also coordinates a project called The Aisle with Project Ezra, which gives engaged and newly married couples the financial knowledge and skills they need to create a strong financial future together. Tamar holds a master's degree in journalism from Columbia Journalism School, a master's in public administration from NYU Wagner, and a master's in Hebrew and Judaic studies from NYU. And if that wasn't enough, she is also a certified educator in personal finance. Wow, we are so privileged that Tamar is here today to walk us through how to talk about finances, how to think about your financial values, and of course, how to navigate it all through the dating and relationship process. Tamar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we're covering this topic.
It's certainly a very important topic in the dating world and beyond. And, you know, it sounds like a lot to unpack. The topic of finance can be overwhelming for people, and compound that at a time where you're thinking about entering a relationship, you're in the dating world. How do we approach talking about finances, thinking about finances? Where do we start?
Okay, great questions. I think it's really important to start, you know, as somebody when you're single and you're in the dating, you know, parsha, you want to start getting into the habit of making smart financial decisions. So you don't want to be thinking, okay, I'll worry about money like later when I get married. That's when I'll get it all together. That's not a good idea. We really want to encourage you to be thinking about this ahead of time and start. So let's talk practicality, right? Let's say you're in school. What does that mean? So that might mean focusing on your education, making sure that this is the right, you know, education, right career path for you. This is something that you really want to do. That, you know, if it's not, it's probably a good idea now to make the change. It's a lot harder later on. So you want to do that now. You also want to think about student loans. So when you're in school, if you're taking out student loans, be aware of how much you're taking out. What's the interest rate? Know how you're going to pay that back. Have a sense for it. I mean, right now, there's a pause on student loan repayment, which is great, but that's not going to last forever. So we want to make sure that you have a sense of what, you know, obligations you have in terms of paying back those student loans, that you're aware of what that is. You know, a lot of times people, they come to me for budget coaching, and they don't have any idea how much they even have in student loans. And it's a little scary to add it all up, but they feel a lot better when they have a sense of, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And then we come up with a plan on how to get rid of them. So that's if you're in school. Now, let's say you're ready, you know, you're working, you have your first job. What can you do to prepare yourself from a financial perspective that will really help you later on and, you know, in your marriage, please God. So you could make sure, I always encourage people that when you get that first job, look into the benefits, make sure you're getting the best of the benefits and that you're maximizing. So a 401k, if they offer you a retirement plan with a match, make sure you're maximizing the match. If you're able to contribute even more than that, it's great. Try to contribute, you know, as much as you can to retirement, even though it feels like so many decades away. But if you do that now, you have the time for the money to pound and grow over time. And that will really help.
Right. As you get older, what's the formula where you say matching, just for financial knowledge for people who might not know that lingo? What's that formula of, like, when you're younger versus when you're older, and how much you're thinking about putting into your 401k, if that's something that your company offers?
Right. Well, so the match, when I'm talking about the match, I'm saying, like, let's say a lot of companies will say, okay, we'll match, you know, the first $6,000, maybe the first $2,000 will match 3% of it. And then the next, $4,000 will match 2% of it. So they're basically giving you free money. And you want to take advantage of that, take that match. And if you could contribute more, that's great. And I think you were talking about with compound interest, that the idea is the earlier you start investing, the more time that money has to grow. And, you know, that's really critical, because there might be times where maybe you can't contribute as much to a 401k, because there's other things that are priorities. So if you have that money already invested from a young age, hopefully that's compounding, that's growing, and that's at least working for you.
Yeah. So you were saying when you're working and you have your job, what are some other things that you can do if you are, you know, you are a salaried single person in the dating world? What are some of the things that you can do to sort of prepare yourself for, you know, entering a relationship? Or how do you wrap your head around your finances?
Yeah. So you definitely want to also be thinking about a budget. Now, if you don't have a written budget, a budget is not like something in your head where you're like, I think I have enough money, or, you know, I don't overdraw my checking account, so I'm okay. No, you really want to have a written budget. It could be electronic, you know, if you like using an app, that's cool too. But where you write down your income, you have a clear sense, and you're using your net income, the actual money that goes into your checking account, not like the gross salary that you were advertised. So you know exactly how much money is going into your checking account each month. And then you write down all your expenses, the rent, the groceries, cell phone, renter's insurance, I hope you have if you're renting, different things like that. You want to make sure you have all that auto, if you have a car, you know, car insurance, gas, that's so expensive right now. You want to make sure that that's a budget, that's become a bigger budget item. So you want to have all that, that down on your budget. But what I really tell people, and this is the critical part, is you don't start with that budget where you're just starting writing down all those things, because it's not exactly the best way to go about it. People don't love just sitting down and writing all that down. So where I encourage people to start with is really taking that step back, looking a little bigger picture, and thinking about, what are my goals? What are my financial values? What do I want to accomplish in the short term, you know, in the next 6 months to 12 months, that next year, medium term, and then long term? And some of those long term goals might be goals that you hope to accomplish with a spouse, right? But you want to get yourself started there. So the short term goals might be something like buying a new laptop or getting some fancy tech, right? That's possible. That could be a short term goal. It might be going on a vacation, you know, that might be a short term goal. And then medium-term goal might be, and a long-term goal, we want to be thinking, like we said, about retirement, about making sure you have that savings account and that you have an emergency fund. That's important. You want to make sure that you're being smart about it, and that will set you up for success. But it really goes back to thinking about what you want to accomplish, what your goals are, and then you sit down. Then you write down, and you write down your income, you write down all the expenses, and you make sure that hopefully your expenses are not exceeding your income. If they are, we got to figure out how to cut back or how to increase the income. Those are the two ways of going about it, or how to do both. Then you write that budget. But you want to be spending some time just thinking about what's important to you. And that self-reflection will help you in the dating process.
Yeah, so you have an outlook about financial thinking in terms of financial value. And earlier when you and I first met, we talked about budgeting, and you used a term that I thought was really cool. You said budgeting is about prioritization. And just as you described, you know, prioritizing, what are the things you want to do short term, long term? And those are things that you shouldn't be shy about saying, even if you think that those are not things that other people might want, but these are things that you want to put in your budget, because these are things that are your happiness allocations.
Yes, I love that. So that's one of my favorite, I call budgeting. It's happiness allocations. You're taking, you know, you're basically, instead of budgeting being like, oh, my budget says I can't do it, or my budget is telling me to deprive myself that I can't afford my coffee or something like that. That's not a budget. That's not the way the budget should work. The budget should really be where you decide, this is what's important to me. I really like eating out, for example. So I'm going to make sure that my dining out budget is pretty ample. You know, that's important. But I'm going to cut back in an area that's not so important to me. Let's say clothing is not so important to me. So I make sure I always look neat and presentable, right? That's important. But maybe I don't need the brand name clothing, or maybe I don't need a new, you know, outfit every, you know, I need to change up my closet, you know, every season. So that's where I'm going to cut back a little bit. But the food, you know, that's important. So I'm going to make sure that I have that. And everybody's different. Everyone has different, you know, happiness, things that I always say, like, you want to get the most bang for your buck in terms of joy that you get out of how you spend your money. You don't want to be spending money mindlessly. That's really key. So budgeting is about being intentional and telling your money what to do on purpose, on paper. So you're really saying, instead of your money kind of driving you and you're like, I don't know, I earn the money and it comes in, it goes out. I never see it. I have no control, and feeling kind of like out of control. You really want to take back that control and say, you know what, this is important. So I'm going to make sure to, you know, it's important to me to pay myself first, for example. I want to set aside a certain amount to invest in my future. So that I'm going to do right away. Maybe I'll even have an automatic transfer from every, you know, paycheck that automatically a certain percentage, let's say 10 or 20%, goes straight into some goal that's really important to save up for something. And then the rest of it, I decide how to spend it, how to allocate it.
And within your thoughts about budgeting, I like what you said. You have to think about the now, the short term, but you also have to think about the later, especially at this critical time in your life, where, as you said earlier, your expenses might not seem so high and the money that's coming in from your job or whatever is might seem like, you know, I can spend it because I have it. But it is important, right, to think about your future while also thinking about your present.
Definitely. Thinking, you know, your future you will thank you. But that said, you still do want to, I want to be clear, you know, if you have the opportunity to take a vacation or do certain things that when you're, please God, married with children will be much harder, do it now. Take advantage. I'm not saying you have to save all your money and you know, you can't enjoy life. Please maximize your life, enjoy life, do the things you can, take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Just make sure that's in your budget.
Yeah. And that's a deep self-reflection, as you said, the idea that you could sit down and think about what your financial values are and how those things fit into your budget. You need to really sit and think about who you are and what's important to you and how to fit all of that into the framework of your finances.
Right. It's really about getting into smart financial habits. A lot of times we spend money on things without thinking. We just order, everything goes into that Amazon cart and then it just shows up. And I've had
an Amazon cart is very dangerous.
Yes, it's so dangerous. I try to keep things in there for at least 24 hours. Then I see, do I still want it or was I just caught up in the moment? But I'll have times where the next day it shows up the next day Prime. And I'm like, I don't, my husband will ask me, what did you order? And I'm like, I have no idea. It clearly wasn't that important. So, you know, you want to just make sure you're being intentional. And we all need to work on that. That's something we all work on. But you just want to make sure that the things you're spending on are aligned with your values. Then you'll feel a lot better that way.
So speaking about being aligned with your values, once you figure out what your financial values are, and you've done the self-reflection on yourself, I mean, I don't know if there's anything that you feel like we've missed about things that you should know first before you enter a relationship. So definitely mention something, you know, if you feel like we haven't covered something that you feel like people should know before they enter a relationship. But how do those things change once you enter a relationship? And what are some of the things that should give you pause when you do enter a relationship?
Sure. Well, I think we could go back to the financial values just for a minute because we didn't quite touch on them. You know, for some people, I just want to be very clear because, you know, sometimes it sounds like an abstract concept. They're not quite sure, what are you talking about? You know, what's a financial value? So let's, if you don't mind, we'll go back there for a minute.
Yeah.
And I'll just share an example. So for some people, a financial value that's really important to them is security. So money, you know, is a tool that helps them, you know, when they have a certain amount of money in their bank account, they feel okay. They feel secure. They feel confident that, God forbid, something unexpected happens, they lose their job or there's a health issue, God forbid. You know, they feel like they've got some money in the bank and they will be able to weather it, that storm, that challenge with more confidence and ability. For other people, it might be status. You know, money brings them the status. They're able to go to events that they want to be seen at. They're able to do things. Maybe they're able to, they believe that will help them achieve better business success. You know, if they've got the certain car, then they're able to, you know, project a certain lifestyle and they'll be able to accomplish more financially. And then for other people, it's about like bringing family together. Money is, you know, it helps them with relationships. They want to, they, their love language might be gifts. They like giving gifts. You know, they want to be, not that gifts have to be expensive, but they want to be able to spend time together with family in a way that money facilitates. So it's important to ask ourselves before we get into that relationship, what emotional need does money fill for me? And to be aware of that. You know, so once they have that and they know their financial value, that's important. Then they are in a really strong point to enter into a relationship with someone else. And now that person will most likely have a different financial value, right? Because we're all unique. We're all different. The goal isn't to find somebody with the exact same financial value. Because even if it is the same, but let's say my husband and I both like security. Money for both of us means security. It means security in a different way for each of us. You know, it fulfills a different need slightly. You know, it's not the exact same thing. It's never going to be exactly the same. So you're not looking for somebody with the exact same value, but you want to make sure that you're aligned and that you're able to both have a conversation about money. A lot of times we don't talk about money. It's something that maybe we were brought up to just avoid or not talk, or we're uncomfortable. And it's really important to be clear and to know, you know, what is money? What emotional needs does money fill for the person I'm dating? And that's not first date conversation. Let me be clear. You know, that's something once you're in a more serious relationship to have a sense of that. And sometimes we have a better sense of our, you know, the person we're dating's relationship with money than maybe we even have of our own. Sometimes it's easier to see their relationship than it is to see our own, which is interesting.
That is interesting. And it's important to note also that if you are dating somebody or entering into a dating relationship with somebody whose financial values, as you said, don't align perfectly with yours, you could still move the conversation forward and talk about those things. So when is the best time to bring up conversations like that about financial values? And we're not talking about specifics of like, you know, payments for things. And you know, we're talking about, as you said, the emotional needs that are filled in the financials of your life.
So I think there are several financial conversations that are important to have before a couple gets married. Now, when that happens, there's a big spectrum between when they meet and when they get married. Right. So when that happens along that spectrum really depends on the couple. It depends on the community they're in. You know, if they're dating only four times before they get engaged, it's probably going to happen later in the engagement period, right? Like it's just not really feasible before then. If they're dating for, you know, 6 months to a year, then that probably happens before they get engaged. It's probably something that hopefully should come up before. But I would say these are the top conversations I recommend that people talk about when it comes to money with someone that they're seriously dating. So the first one, it's important to know your credit score and to share, you know, your credit score with the person you're dating. And I say first with your own, because a lot of people, it's not that they're keeping a secret. They never check their credit score. They don't even know, you know, some people don't even have a credit score. They don't have a credit history. Let's say they've never had a credit card and they've never taken out a loan. They might not even have a credit score. And then, you know, that's a conversation like, you know, how there are ways to build a credit score, to get a secured credit card. You know, it's not, you know, these are all surmountable. You know, you could get over these challenges. We don't have to, none of these are deal breakers. It's just important to have that information and be transparent. So credit
score. Do you have any advice? Like, how do you bring that up? Like, hey, what's your credit score? How do you bring that up?
Great question. I think it might be, maybe if you're having a conversation about prioritization, you know, about something that maybe is related to money. And then you could say, you know, you could sort of weave it in, or if, let's say you're taking out a student loan or you're doing something related to money, you could kind of, you know, put that in there and be like, oh, or you could kind of say, I just checked my credit score. Can you believe it's, you know, XYZ, what's your, you know, right, it's, right. You could kind of make it into a fun conversation. And we try not to make it awkward, you know, and if it is awkward for a minute, you could be like, oh, well, I heard on this podcast, I'm supposed to ask that. So like, you know, totally blame me. That's, you go with that. That's fine. So but that's the first one, the credit score, the credit history, because if there is an issue, you'll see, you know, if the credit score is very low, you'll want to know why. And you'll want to find out, you know, is there a problem with paying bills on time? Is there a money issue? You know, and that doesn't mean that that's, you know, deal breaker call off this relationship. It just means let's talk about it. Let's figure out how we could help each other. Let's figure out how to remedy this situation. So that's the first one. You know, it might've been like a medical bill that, you know, just got lost in the shuffle, or it could be a mistake. mistake, right? It might not even be their fault. It might be a mistake on their credit report that's hurting them. And this is really good information for them to have. And, you know, it's hopefully, it could, you know, we'll be able to be remedied and things will be good. So that's the first one. The second one, I already mentioned student loans. You want to know how much you have in student loans and how much you're, you know, the person that you're dating has in student loans. And again, that doesn't, that's, even if it's a lot, you know, $250,000 in student loans, which is not unheard of, you know, for let the person you're dating or you are in medical school, you know, or law school, that's totally possible. The key is just coming up with a plan and making sure that part of your plan with your goals, once you start to get serious, is figuring out, you know, how are we going to pay that off? How is that part of our, you know, are we going to maybe live like residents for a little longer than, you know, even once we get that, you know, that first bigger job as a doctor, you know, not quite living the high life just yet. Let's, you know, if a priority of ours, a shared value, is to pay off those loans, let's do that. Or if we're going to be doing income-based repayment and that's going to be a longer haul, let's know about that. Let's be aware. It's really all about communication and transparency. That is the key to success here. And then the other one I would mention is credit card debt. So it's important to know if there is credit card debt, because I could tell you that if that is hidden, if that is not shared, that could cause a lot of issues. And credit card debt really, really grows exponentially, very, very quickly. So it might be a small matter now, but later on in a short period of time, it could grow to be a very big matter with interest rates as high as, you know, 29.99%. That small balance grows very quickly. So you really want to make sure that you're aware of that. And the key is really, again, just no secrets.
Yeah. And that's why those are things that, you know, going back to how we started the conversation, that's why it's so important for you to know those things about yourself when you're dating, so that you could be prepared to have those conversations once you start to enter a relationship.
Or you could even, let's say there is credit card debt, you know, work on it, get rid of it. And then you don't need to have that conversation because, you know, there isn't any anymore. You could talk about how you really worked hard to pay it off. And that's honestly, that's really impressive. I would be impressed by that.
Yes. And I think it's important to highlight what you said about transparency and communication. And that's part of the sort of the human side of this financial conversation, the emotional piece, the communication, the transparency, and the not keeping secrets, especially when you're going into a relationship and planning ahead and learning to work together to do that together. What are your thoughts on that?
Exactly. I agree 100%. You really want to view finances as if you're, you know, you want to feel that you're both on the same team. You know, even if I have some people who ask me, you know, as when once they're engaged or newly married, they ask me like, you know, should we have joint accounts? Should we have separate accounts? And I often say both, you know, it's a good idea probably to have joint accounts where you pay joint bills. And it's good for everyone to have their own little account, you know, that they're able to, you know, you could decide what percentage goes into each, you know, a private account, but that way they could spend money on the things that make them happy that maybe the, you know, their spouse isn't as happy about, you know, maybe that's just not their thing. They're not upset about it, but it's just not their thing. And you could buy birthday presents from that account without the spouse knowing about it. So it's good to have separate and joint accounts.
Okay. So Tamar, let's fast forward a little bit. So we've already done the self-reflection where we know what our financial values are. We've thought about our finances. We've entered a relationship. We've discussed, you know, in general, what our emotional needs are with regards to our finances. We've talked about, as you said earlier, our credit scores, our student loans, our credit card debt. We're working together to build a future together. And now we're getting engaged. So you work on a program. You work on a program called The Isle. So tell us a little bit about that program.
Sure. So the Isle is an incredible program run by Project Ezra in Bergen County. And it's generously sponsored by Alana and Mark Rothenberg and Tamara Ross Rothenberg. And they really had the visionary idea. This was about 6 years ago, where they said, you know what? A lot of times we help people with their money when it's already almost too late. You know, it's later on, they're in, you know, people who come to Project Ezra, a lot of times, you know, they're in financial distress, you know, it might be because of illness or divorce or whatever it is, and they need help. But what if we could encourage and really help healthy young people when they're first getting married and give them the tools that they need to build a strong financial future together. Let's teach them about money because maybe they never learned about money. Maybe they don't know the basics. Let's teach them that. Let's show them how to write a budget. And let's talk to them about how to communicate effectively with their future spouse about money. Because really, we know, everybody, you know, the research shows that money is one of the biggest topics, one of the biggest causes of conflict and fighting in a marriage. You know, that's often one of the top cited reasons for divorce. So we really want to get that money conversation right. So that was their idea. I've been privileged to lead this. It's basically like a 2-hour workshop. We've been doing it on Zoom for the past few, we do it twice a year. And we're hoping in the fall and September is going to be the next one. We're hoping that one will be in person. It's for engaged and newly married couples. And the goal is really to give them that information and help them have some of these conversations that we were talking about. Help them talk, you know, give them the prompts to help them talk about their values as individuals and together as a couple, and help them figure out what are their goals, you know, because that's really critical. Before you write out the budget, like we discussed, you want to have goals. And for a couple, it's important to have shared goals. So you want to first, each of you have your individual goals, because it's important for us to always maximize ourselves individually as well. That makes for a stronger relationship as a couple. And we each feel like we're maximized on our own as well. And then come together and say, like, you know, how do we combine these goals? Are they the same? Where are they different? How can we compromise, right? Sometimes it's a compromise. You know, and sometimes one spouse wants to go on a vacation really badly. You know, they feel overworked and stressed out. And another spouse is like all about paying off those student loans. They just want to get rid of them. Those student loans are driving them crazy. So how can we figure out a compromise where we each acknowledge that the other spouse's emotional need when it comes to this financial decision? And, you know, they're both good. Like there's no, you know, it's not like one's a bad idea, but, you know, we figure out maybe we go on a smaller vacation, but that's really important to my spouse. They really need that break. So we go on a smaller vacation that maybe, you know, is local and not as expensive. But we still put money away for those student loans and we come up with a plan to be able to accomplish both. Cause we don't want anyone feeling like their needs are not being met. So we need to have those conversations and make sure that we're aligned. And then when we have our values and we're really clear, okay, it's really important to both of us to pay off those student loans and go on that vacation, then when the opportunity comes up to do something different, you know, maybe it's, say, redoing the kitchen or a bathroom or something, you might say, you know what, that isn't in our priority list right now. That's not, you know, that's not, or even just spending on you know, something really expensive technology, you know, maybe we could hold back, or we don't need to lease a new car right now. You know, we could get by on one car, or we could buy a used car or something like that. Although in this market, used cars, okay. But anyway, you know, coming up with other solutions. So we really know what our values are, and we're able to prioritize based on our shared values. So that's really critical. And what I say, you know, this is not just about preventing conflict in a marriage. I strongly believe that when you and your spouse are aligned in your values and you have shared financial goals, that really helps you build a stronger relationship. So not only does it prevent the negative, it really helps you build something super strong, and you could weather difficult times, you know, because we all go through, unfortunately, you know, that's life. There are ups and there are downs. There are job losses. There are financial, there are things that are, you know, there are going to be times where finances are tough, unfortunately, for many of us. And we need to be able to have that solid relationship where we are able to communicate openly with one another about our needs. And we're able to really figure out, how are we going to weather this storm? How are we going to do that? And if we're used to talking about our goals and we're used to achieving them and we've had success in the past getting, you know, we paid off that student loan together, guess what? When we have our next goal, we're going to feel really confident and we really feel like, okay, you know, we're going to have confidence that we're going to be able to accomplish this, even if it's a little bit tough at the time. So it helps build strong marriages.
Yeah. And sharing financial goals doesn't mean we necessarily agree on every financial goal, but we express our individual goals and then work together to achieve each other's goals together.
Exactly. And hopefully you'll come to have some goals that you both agree with. So there might be like secondary goals that you each have a preference that maybe the other one is not as keen on, but like not against it, just, you know, that's not their number one. But hopefully you could come up with, usually I found in this workshop that I do and when I work with couples, there's usually an alignment on one key goal. And then maybe there are some secondary goals that we need to compromise on. So if we could figure out what that key goal is that we both agree on, we both say, this is number one, we have to accomplish this. This is what we want to do in the short term, or this is what we want to do in the long term. Let's come together on that goal that we both agree on, and then let's figure out how to accommodate on those lower goals. And that will help us stay focused on the prize, right? On getting what we want to accomplish right. together.
Right. In a little while, you'll tell us exactly how people could find out more information about the aisle. We'll talk about that again later. But while we're on this topic of just still sort of figuring out where you are and where you stand in terms of your financial values, do you have any advice on how people can resources maybe, or places they could reach out if they're having trouble figuring that out? That's one side of the coin. And then the other side of the coin is like the actual financial lingo that they might need in order to understand, even understand what a credit score is and what it's that, whatever it might be. Do you have any advice of resources that people could go to if they can't sort of figure these things out on their own?
Sure. And I don't think anyone really needs to figure this out on their own, you know, without, you know, it's totally understandable if this is kind of like a foreign language. You know, personal finance seems very foreign because a lot of us didn't have that growing up. And if our parents didn't talk about money to us, we might not know so much about money. We didn't learn it in school. You know, a lot of the schools are doing a lot better now, and they're really seeing this as an important thing to teach. And I've been privileged to go into a lot of area high schools and teach seniors about money and give them this overview that's really critical. And I've gone to Stern College and spoke to their honor students as well. So, you know, they're really doing a lot better with that, but it might be that you didn't have that. So that's totally okay. So in terms of self-educating, you know, there are a lot of books that I would recommend. A Random Walk Down Wall Street. They're like classics. Dave Ramsey has his Total Money Makeover. There are a bunch of different things. I don't agree with every last bit of advice in each and every one of these books. Jean Chatsky has a whole bunch of different books. It's basically any book that you pick up. There are a bunch of great books, and we could put, you know, link to some of them in the show notes. The key is really to educate yourselves. It might even be reading the Wall Street Journal or reading the business section of the Times, getting used to just reading about it, reading Yahoo Finance, getting some alerts. And or listening to a podcast. A lot of people are into, I know I like podcasts. There are a bunch of great podcasts that we could, you know, mention. You could even type in finance. There are so many different ones. Find the one that speaks to you. And really just learning about it. There's also something I like called Choose FI. That's another podcast that I recommend that really talks a lot about financial independence and, you know, how to achieve it. So there are a bunch of different resources. The key is really having the desire to really improve your finances and to learn more about it and to not feel, you also want to have confidence. You know, a lot of people feel a little intimidated by money, but it's not so complicated. You know, the actual ideas, they might use fancy words, you know, APR, but once you learn what it means, you know, it's just interest. It's not, you know, it's not too complicated. The key really, you know, the basics are, you want to go back to the basics of making sure that you're not spending more than you could afford, making sure that you're, you know, that you're spending in ways that are intentional. It, you know, comes full circle back to those goals, back to those values. And just, you know, the hard part is carrying it out, right? Like understanding the concepts actually isn't really the hard part. The hard part is acting on it.
So Tamar, any last pieces of advice for our audience?
You really want to be open and have those conversations, you know, that don't put this stuff under the rug. Don't just try to avoid it and say, I'll talk about money once we're married, or, you know, we'll have those awkward conversations, or you think they might be awkward later, or put them off. But, you know, it's kind of like people who get those credit card bills and have a hard time opening them, and they just keep them, you know, it piles up, the envelopes, and, you know, that's not helping you. So the key is really just have that conversation, be open, and really listen to what your dating partner, you know, what they're saying, what their money experience has been, what their goals are, and dream together. You know, that's really what I encourage people when I meet with couples. I encourage them to like put aside the budget for a second. Put aside, you know, real life and real constraints, and just think for a moment. If we had all the money in the world, let's say we didn't have to have a job, we didn't have to, you know, pay a mortgage or yeshiva tuition, what would we want to do with our lives? What would we want to accomplish? What are our goals? What do we want to do together? What's the big thing that us coming together as a union, we're going to accomplish in this world? And we're going to, you know, hopefully make a better place and fulfill Hashem's mission that he sent us down to this world for. What do we want to accomplish? And then once you're dreaming together, once you're all like passionate and you have that idea, then we bring it down to earth. And we figure out, okay, how can we fit this in with, you know, with the financial constraints, with needing to earn, you know, money to pay yeshiva tuition one day, please God, you know, with wanting to make sure that you're able to pay rent. How do we make that happen? You know, how maybe it's a side hobby. Maybe it's something that we do, you know, but we want to have focus on that dream together. That's really critical, especially at this early stage in your relationship. And my bracha is that, you know, that finances will bring you together, closer together, you know, once you find that special person, please God, you know, in the right time, that it will bring you together and will really strengthen your marriage and help you accomplish things that you just wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
Very well said. Very well said. Okay. So Tamar, how do people find out information about the IL? How do people reach out to you if they want to gather, you know, gain expertise from you?
Great. Yeah. So I would love, we're having the next IL is going to take place in September. We're still working on the date, but you could find out more information by going to www.ezrah.org/IL. AISLE. So Ezra.org, Ezra is with an H, /IL. And anyone could reach me. They could contact me at tamarchaitovsky@gmail.com. I'm always happy, always welcome, any questions, if I could be helpful with resources, with ideas. If somebody is interested in budget coaching, I'm happy to help them with that. You know, this is really an area I'm passionate about. And I'm just so glad that we're covering it, that we're talking about it, that it's not taboo. It's something that's really out there in the open.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today and sharing your wisdom and great advice. And thank you, our listening audience, for joining us in this candid conversation. If you'd like to continue the conversation, send us an email at yuconnects@yu.edu. That's yuconnects@yu.edu. Until next time, for YU Connects and Candidate, I'm Randy Wartelski. Have a great day.
Thank you to our gracious host and guests this evening. Please email us at yuconnects@yu.edu to suggest future dating and relationship building topics and guests for your enjoyment. Candidate at YU Connects.